The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is Islam Today with J. Regis Esther.
This is Rob. You're listening to Islam Today. Islam Today being broadcast to you under the auspices of the Free Broadcasting Network, IBN. You can visit us on the internet at IBN.net. That's IBN.net, where you can find rebroadcasts of this and other programs about Islam Today. I'm Mr. Preston, and today we're visiting in Birmingham, Alabama. Birmingham, Alabama has either people who are Muslim and some people who aren't. Putting you here together, Muslim and non-Muslim, to talk about some important issues in the face of the monotheistic religions known as Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The subject of this particular topic is going to be about intentions, and what are they, and what's acceptable, and what's not. I would like to mention that the word in the Arabic language that I'll be referring to is called niyyah. The Prophet of Islam, blessed be upon him, told us an important statement, and it's recorded in the very first of a collection of over almost 3,000 of his traditions and sayings called Sahih al-Bukhari. It claims in the very first statement from him is from the authority of Omar ibn al-Khattab, that says, in my opinion, certainly every intention is true. Every deed or action will be judged by the intention. So in Islam, we understand immediately from this and from the rest of the saying that whoever does anything for Allah and His Messenger, then this will be recorded as such. And whoever does anything for any worldly reason, then it will be recorded as such. So intentions and Islam are going to be the key to the deed being acceptable or being rejected. Every action judged by the intention. So if the intention is good, the action is considered good. If the intention is wrong, the action is considered wrong. I'd like to take a little example of that. If someone has a very good idea, that they would like to build a hospital for those who are injured and pain, then they said, but I don't have the money, so I'll rob a bank to do it. Well, the intention he has is very, very good. But now there's a serious problem in his thinking because he's considering that it's all right to rob a bank to connect with the funding for this so-called good idea. This would be totally unacceptable. You say, well, the intention is good. Yes, it is. But it also has to be in line with what is called in Islam, which means the teaching of Almighty God. In the Book of Allah and also in the teachings and sayings of the Jesus 15. So this means that there's a condition. The intention can be good, but the intention also has to be based on what is correct. It can't be a good intention and then have something like this in the middle of it. Now I mentioned that we would make some comparison between the monotheistic faith when it comes to this subject of intention. And I think it's a good place to do that. Because with the note to the Old Testament, what remains of it in English translation, to the New Testament, what remains of it in the English translation, and to the Quran, and I'm going to use a English translation of the meaning, which is here on the desk, and tell you that for sure, all that I'm saying in English, you can repeat in any language. I mean, you can come back to me and say, well, that's not exactly the Hebrew, that's not exactly the Aramaic or the funny Greek, and that's not exactly the Arabic. But I am trying to do this in English, so that means that there could be a margin of error, at least in language. But certainly as a concept, and this is what we're trying to deal with, what is a concept or a chanting. The concept in Islam is that every action is judged by the intention, but it has conditions. The deed has to be done for the sake of Allah, to be considered for Allah. That's the first thing. It can be done for worldly purposes. And the second is, it has to be in line with what is acceptable according to Islamic law. In other words, as we mentioned, you can't rob somebody to do a good deed because he's committed a bad deed, so you negate the good that comes out. You know? If somebody says, for instance, I would like to be with you guys in your family. Well, that's wonderful. All you guys got to do is come to my place and get drunk with me tonight, and then I'll be ready to go with you to your prayer in the morning. We can't do that. It's not acceptable. It doesn't do it. Okay, having said that, when we look to statements which we find, as I mentioned in the ancient version of the Bible, it says your good deeds are filthy rags before the Lord. This is acceptable in Islam. Any deeds that we do, our animal, our actions, can be nothing more than dirty rags in front of the Lord. Why? Well, because if the intention is wrong, we just negated them. If they're not in accordance with what Allah has ordered us to do, we've negated it in both cases. So definitely. And then on top of that, even if you have the most beautiful deeds, which are the most pure and the most, you know, in our understanding, human logic, this is perfect. Still, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, and this is another tradition where it's reported he said this, and I'm giving you the English translation. After one of the prayers, I guess he was telling his companions that nobody will enter into paradise at all except by the grace. Now, using the word grace, he translates the word Rahman. Because we say most gracious, most merciful are Rahman. And certainly the same by his grace. And nobody will enter into paradise except by grace. They said, even you, he said, even you. You know, again, your deeds are not really going to be the deciding factor. So even some people asking, well, does Allah already know what things are going to happen? Is this all that is planned for the father of Allah, the final child? God will see. He said, yes. It's already written? Yes. Then why should I even bother? Nobody said, you don't need to teach. So you go on and you keep doing your good deeds and keeping your good intentions and do the best you can and let Allah be. Does that make sense? I like that. That's a good concept. Additionally, whoever comes with a good deed, first of all, let me mention this. He said in the day of judgment, everybody who's done Adam's way of good will see it then. Whoever's done Adam's way of evil will see it then. Meaning it's all recorded. You didn't sneak by and think, I see you in a dark place and there's nobody looking, so he doesn't know that I can get. No, what are you talking about? He knows. And we'll be held accountable for it. Except we can get a decision from. As I say, if anybody comes with a good deed on the day of judgment, it's a good deed. Acceptable. He said it will be met with 10, meaning that he'll have 10 rewards instead of just going for a good deed. But if he does a bad deed, he'll only have one bad deed. Well, that's good news. And that, for me, is big grace and big mercy. Because I'm sure, and they're scared of resentment, scared of justice. Really, I'm pretty much afraid I've already outweighed on what things that I've done. So, it's good to have it and to know that my bad deeds will be recorded as one. In another saying of Muhammad, and I love this one, it said that there's an angel on the right who is recording your good deeds, and an angel on the left recording the bad deeds. It said the one on the right, as soon as you have the intention to do a good deed, he records one full good deed. And if you accomplish the intention, then it's 10 good deeds recorded for you instead of just one. Which is something by the way. And then it says that if a person has the intention to do a bad deed, that he stops himself and says, well, that's wrong, don't do that. If he stops a bad deed, it's recorded as a good deed. But he has a bad intention. You know, I'm going to do X to get the wrong. Okay, I won't get up getting into anything specifically. But I mustn't do that. That's wrong. Now there's a good deed. And nobody knows that, by the way, this is what we say. A lot of things are in our lives that we've seen in our lives. We look at a thing that our own person. So what you say, oh, this guy's a great guy, he's so happy, he's so holy, and then underneath it, the guy's a son. And you don't know that. And you don't know what he's like. And then you don't know this guy's nobody. You know, he's going to see, he's, yeah, you know, and then so they say that first thing from that, but you don't know that. Maybe you thought he was something particularly very beautiful, and you can't see that, but I thought he sees it, and so these people go to paradise. Let me get back to the Hadith. We call it the summary, the same that continuation with the angel on the left. Good deed is intended, a bad deed is intended, but it's never accomplished, nothing is written, because he didn't do it. But he had intention, so he's not going to be punished for just the intention, because he didn't have to be good. Of course, he didn't have any good deed there. But then, the minute he does a bad deed, the angel on the left begins to report a full bad deed. But the angel on the right stops him and says, hold on a second. Maybe he will repent. Wait. Angel will repent. And after a period of time, he doesn't repent. The angel on the left begins to write again. And the one on the right stops him and says, wait, maybe he will repent. A period of time goes by. He doesn't repent. Then it's a full bad deed recorded for him. This will help us to understand what the position of intention is done. Because here's a person who did a bad thing, did a bad thing, and then suddenly he said, oh my God, what have I done? It's, yeah. But what is terrible or intention concerned? It's not something phony. It's not something funny that you can just go out and say, you know what, I think I'm going to go do X. And I don't want to give you guys any ideas. That's why I'm giving an example. But I want to do it, and something X is horrible, and you couldn't get that. And you say, yeah, and you know what? I will repent right afterwards. Okay, there's no repentance from this. Because he knew it was wrong when he started, and the repentance is only from the beginning. And there is no amount of repentance going to make up for that, because he knew when he started he was going to do it, and he even knew he was going to try to repent for it, he would not pay for it. This is like using somebody else's credit card, tells me that, going to where you never got paid, and then go up to me and say, I'm sorry, I'm grateful, so you can't get away with that. It doesn't work in time. Allah has already been most gracious and most merciful by giving us this system that we will be judged by our intention and already have a reward. Just by our actions to the extent that it's going to be based on the intentions that we're doing, we'll even get more by following through and doing it. And at the same time, being only punished for what we actually did wrong, that's enough. How would it be that he has to add to that, on top of it, you were good, you did it anyway, and then he went, I'm sorry. Doesn't work. So that's giving us some idea. Another reference. I'm making a comparison from the book of James, from the New Testament, more or less the translation tells us that faith without works is death. And this may not be, and each translation is exactly the same, but it gives us an idea here that in this book it's telling us that just saying you believe is not enough. Do we have the same thing in this book? This is not a reason for making a comparison. And again, the answer is yes, it is. The same thing is found, it is not enough to say, I believe, and then do no work. It's totally unacceptable. And when people say, God is love, I love God, and God loves me. Oh, you're listening to that old thing. I have God in my heart. And you know, I love you, God. And really, okay, when we hear this, this is the answer that came in for us. Two Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and this is Allah telling the Prophet, peace be upon him, what to say. Say this to them when they even respect the integrity from their lives. But when they come with it, Allah urged the Prophet, don't you come up with something out of your mouth, you say these words. Chapter 3, verse 31. Al-Imran, ayah number 31. What does it say? I'll do that in Shaitan Regina, I suggest you will walk in the bench of time, I should say that part of the Quran. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Say to them, say to them, when you tell me you love Allah, say, if you really love Allah, then you follow me. by following what I have brought, by doing what I'm teaching, by doing the things that are considered outside, meaning the rest of these. Do that. Then, going back to the verse, then and only then will Allah forgive you your sins, for He is the forgiver, and He is the merciful. Check it out. So if not to teach you, to turn around and say, I'm a believer. No, you're not. Faith without work is dead. I'm paraphrasing from the Bible. And we accept that. Yes, that's absolutely true. Either come up with some action, or don't doubt it. Okay? Or if you stay in Texas, it's the one way you not do. For me, and my background, my history, certain history, I asked it. But it's just before that. Take thought, the moment you see asking the truth of the individual, all this thing going on. But that's fine. If you really are who you say you are, prove it. Have you not heard it said so many times in the South of history? We hear you talk to talk. Can you see you walk to walk? You tell me you're looking where are you? Let us look now, we're talking about the sense of intention. Let us look to the very word Islam itself and consider. What is Islam? What does it mean? Islam is an Arabic word coming from the root. And the Arabic language, by the way, is root-driven. It has over 5,000 roots. It's a very powerful, powerful language. And it says very clearly, the meaning of Islam coming from Salama is not peace. I don't mean to contradict G.W. George W. Bush. He said Islam is a peaceful religion. Certainly, I agree with him. We have some people who are working toward peace, and they could, without doubt. But the same doesn't mean peace. If it did, we wouldn't say Salaam Alaikum, we'd say Islam Alaikum. The meaning of Islam, the very important meaning comes from the root Salaam, and the first one is familiar. The first word. The second one is submission. The third is obedience. The fourth is sincerity of intention. This word is talking about intention. And then finally, the word peace. But that word Salaam coming in here is a condition of Salaam, at least based on the first four words in the expression in plain language. If the person is truly surrendering to God's will on earth, to the best of their ability, if they are obeying the orders and commandments of God, to the best of their ability, and if they're doing this in submission, without any reservation, they say, I'm going to do this, and they do it, and it's purely for God. Depending on when they have peace between them and God. Because Islam describes the relationship between a human being and a creator. But it's not talking about a relationship with anything else. But this is first and foremost, that the person is not Islam with Allah, he is not Islam with the people. This is recorded very clearly, again talking about the intention, because I want you to be focused on this. Focus on this, that there is another word called Nasiha in the Arabic language, and we're very familiar with this because of so many brothers and sisters will say to each other, I want to give you Nasiha. And we say this means advice. How many of you heard it use that word? And if I ask you how you say advice in Arabic, you will say what? Does anybody here doubt that, that's the Arabic speaker? You will say that. And you will tell me that what? The folks that are lying, Salaam said, Adina Nasiha means religion and friends give good advice to people, right? Is that the meaning? Absolutely wrong. Everybody says it. But I'm encouraging you to go and read the Hadith in the Arabic language and read the rest of it and do it today. To who? Well, how do you give advice to Allah? Well, I don't like the way you read it. You're asking me to take you out. Another way you're talking to that kid. You didn't leave any room in the magnitude of the world. You want to give me advice to Allah? What are you talking about? What are you talking about, man? But you didn't think about that before, did you? Because everybody came along and said the same thing without thinking. But prior to the time, you told me, don't say that. That's not the meaning. That's I said, then why did you say that? But they asked you to do anything. Meaning is not that. What's this? What it says here is that the Prophet of Allah has come and said, Adina Nasiha, that the religion of Islam is Nasiha. They said, to whom? He said, to Allah, and to His Messenger, and to the right arm, the one in charge of the mirror over the people, protecting a mirror over the people and then to the general public. There are four mentioned in this reason. Because the only way for it to be considered correct, but if you want to apply the word to the other three, you have to stop and rethink the word, reconstruct what you mean is, and it means sincerity and devotion and dedication. You don't advance a lot, but if you need sincerity, you can have another meaning for it. You can be devoted to Him and that's another meaning for it, and you can be totally committed, and that's all good. This will work. But to say you give a lot of advice out when you do. The people of his brain won't have it, but he's done. He's done. He's done. And then I'm going to invite him into it. Yes. And we don't even have it anymore. We have to be careful when we throw these meanings out there because we're going to get the wrong understanding. You can bend something in the beginning and you don't realize. You can say, well, it's just a fucking thought. But if any of you want to do that, a lot of it. You can just start with a little bit off, just a small tangent, and then suddenly, you know, you get out here and it's almost perpendicular to what you're doing. Doesn't carry the same meaning at all anymore. So you've got to be careful about that. So in Islam, what we know is that we must be totally dedicated to Allah first, and then dedicated to Muhammad next, and then dedicated to our leadership, and then dedicated to our fellow man. Well, we can start talking about all these buildings. By the way, if you want to read the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, you'll find that, wow, we just have a whole lot more to worry about than we do. We don't report. They report and they can't eat any beef at the time that they're going to have milk. Because it comes from the milk is from the cow, you can't eat the, now you're going to have chicken, you can't eat the egg, because the egg coming from the chicken, you can't make, you know, like we do batter, we make an egg batter, dip chicken in, we live in Birmingham, Alabama, you're going to work it, this is the thing that the medication comes from. I'm just mentioning that there are rules, but that's not the first rule. For Islam, we have a first rule. Before you get into all of this, do the question of why you cut off people's hands. I don't cut anybody's hand off in my life, by the way. I mean, that's how people say, again, never talking to me. To me, that's, you know, that's another world. What I'm saying here is that there are things mentioned as well in the Bible. That most Christians, you have a clue. If you go up and say, you go up and say the same thing right here, who put that on? So, let's deal with what the first issue is. The first issue is that Allah told us in the Quran our purpose, why He created us, why we're here. And He uses the word in Arabic. From the word al-Khalq, He is the creator, and He is the one who created us. He says, wa ma khalaqtu al-jinn wa al-insa illa li'abudun. Plus or minus the Arabic. Get that? Okay. The translation to English must be, I only created you guys to worship me alone without any partners. Go back again, because He said we're talking about the monotheistic faith. Is that something we'll be taught in the Bible? In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 6, something they call the Ten Commandments. Now, if it's the Catholic, the English Lay Bible, they have the numbers split differently, but it still says the same thing. They just have, you might say, well, this is number 9 here, but it's number 8 over there, and it doesn't matter because it's essentially the numbering. Doesn't matter in the Bible any more than it matters in the Quran. As it pertains in the Bible, in both cases, regardless of how you do the numbering, it still starts out the same way. And the Lord your God that brought you up from the land of Egypt in the house of bondage, you know no other God beside me, and then comes the statement, thou shalt not have any other gods besides me. Very clear. There's no doubt that it says that in two places. In the book of Moses or the Pentateuch, which is supposedly the first five books that Moses read, I say supposedly, some say there were 7, some say 50, some say, but that's preserved and accepted tradition across the board. So, do we have the same thing in the Quran? Absolutely, without doubt, we have the same statement. This is what's important to know, that this is not different. This lamb is not accepted to make partners with God. He says in the Quran, or that's the translation, I do not forgive anyone to make shirk. I use the word shirk because that's the Arabic representation. for the meaning of making partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anybody makes a partner with him in worship, he says, I don't forgive that. That's the blasphemy, the unforgivable sin. Because he says, but anything less than that, I can forgive. I do not forgive anybody who makes partners with me in worship, but anything less than that, I can forgive. That's his statement. So we understand that that's the point in the monotheistic faith. Mono means one. If you got more than one, you've got more than one. Simple as that. The intention is everything in Islam. From the time you're born to the time you die, that's what you're being judged on. That's why in Islam, we say that, and this is from our Prophet, peace be upon him, what he told us, every child is born on the fitrah of our Islam. Every child is born in the total submission, surrender, and obedience to God. They're innocent of everything. But it is their parents who will raise them up to become a Christian, a Jew, a fire worshiper, or whatever. Who raises the children up is the one that's what they'll follow. This is not uncommon. I mean, you don't have to be a psychology student to figure that one out. Because the people of Hindustan become Hindus. Well, that's what their parents are. The people in Muslim, they want to be Christian, but the people in China, a lot of them are Buddhists. Right? Muslim parents are. And each and every family will have the same thing. What you are, what you keep your foot, and they begin to believe that from early on. That's why it's essential for those who are trying to work in religion where they do conversion, check the kids. Check them early. There was one phrase I remember, very, very popular phrase amongst those who are trying to catch the kids and bring them to church. They would say, catch them before they're 8, before it's too late. That was great. I mean, that's the time to catch them and do what? Exactly what Father Sarkhan said, which is raise them up in that particular place. Okay? Now, we took that as Muslims very clear, that how people are, as they mature, then they're going to be asked for what they did. So what a child does doesn't put them in hell. In fact, we believe that all the children who die before reaching the age of decision, some people say the age of puberty, but when they're old enough to distinguish right from wrong, and they choose wrong, then they're going to be judged for them. But if they die before that time, the Islam says they go to paradise. Regardless of what their parents were, doesn't matter if they were Jews, Christians, followers, Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, doesn't matter. It's a lot of their hearts, their innocence, and their insubmission to Him. They haven't done anything wrong. So they're not going to be punished. That's the teaching of Islam. And I ask God to forgive you for any mistake and guide you to do better. You've been listening to Islam Today. We're broadcasting to you almost live all the way from Birmingham, Alabama. And we are talking with the Muslims and our Muslims here on the subject of intention. You can visit us on the internet at IBM.net. That's the Islam Broadcasting Network. Our website is open 24 hours a day. And good news for those in New York, plenty of free parking.
ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفرني لمغفرتي له وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور
الرحيم. None can produce them except me. So forgive me a forgiveness for yourself and have mercy upon me. Truly, you are the most forgiving.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation.